You know, there are several famous actors. I'm sure you guys know them. You might have your favorites you've seen. And as soon as you see them in a movie or something, you recognize them. Maybe you don't know their name. You go, yeah, they've been in this and that. Or might have a different maybe character on or a different outfit on or way they changed their hair or something. But they're acting out a part, but it's not really who they are. Today, we get to celebrate somebody who took on a role, but it's actually who they became. They actually became which was Jesus. And a couple weeks ago, I was helping my dad. My dad is going to be 89 in a few months here. And he wants to go on a trip. And he needs a passport to do this trip. Now, I don't know how many of you have a passport. You have a passport? Well, if you don't have a passport, one of the things in a passport they ask you is, who's your mother? Who's your father? When were they born? And where were they born? Well, those two last questions were a little bit difficult to try to get down because we're talking his dad was born back in the late 1800s. And so to narrow that down. So we finally tracked it down. But, you know, but I thought it'd be interesting if you were filling out a passport for Jesus. You know, and you realize I was looking and thinking about this, that you could actually fill out three different applications with this passport. And the first one would be the beginning of the first, before he came to earth. What would his passport, what would it be, what would you put in as who's his mother and who's his father? He didn't have one because he always was. Because he's God. The Bible says in John chapter 1, this is the Gospel of John in the New Testament. It says, talking about Jesus, he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus, creator. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. How many came to church today in some kind of mode of transportation? Do you totally understand everything about your mode of transportation? No, nobody does. Gary probably might be the closest that might understand a lot of it. But even that, with all the electronics, you know, but you trust, hopefully, it's going to get you here. You know, it's going to get you wherever you need to go and stuff. Well, you know, that's sort of like we could take with God. You know, when we try to think that he always was, think, well, I can't grasp that. But, you know, we know a car has wheels and needs gasoline, has steering wheel, and it's got a gear and everything. Basically, same thing we know about God. God's good. He's love. He's kind. So we rest in that. We don't have to know everything to totally try to grasp the fact that he always was. So I can't understand that. It's true. We can understand a little bit of it, but that doesn't mean we can't trust him. We can't believe in him. We can't, there's this thing we call, I know it's not in the Bible, it's called the Trinity. And we believe that. It's one of the main things that separates Christianity from all other religions. And that is that we believe Jesus is God. He's not just the Son of God. We believe he is God. There's no other religion that believes that he is God. And Father, there's three parts. There's three parts of God. There's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him, again it says, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him for him. When you consider, that includes the angels. You know, we shared that last week, that the devil himself used to be an angel. But God gave all that he created a freedom to choose, and he chose not to follow God. He chose to rebel. So we look at that part of the passport. We say, well, he's God. He always was. But then there was the next part of when he came to earth. And that part, we can fill in some of that. Because we know his mother was Mary. We know that's who she was. We know that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is what helped that conception happen. So we know some of that. You know, not exact dates and stuff. We know that. But consider, this is God who decided to come and experience mankind from the very beginning, subjecting himself to even be in the womb, as Shiloh was sharing, ultrasound. If you take an ultrasound, you would see Jesus in the womb of Mary. She was in there, or he was in there. And so why did he do that? Why did he become a man? How many of you have ever disagreed with somebody else's view? Yes. You know, we think we know. We think we see correctly. We think we can see, you know, what we have. We think our view is correct. Last summer, we were looking for a vehicle for Grace and her daughter. And I was down in Columbus, down by Easton. And I went to meet this guy. And he opened the door. It was a tall young man from Nigeria. And he shot out his hand. He goes, hola. And I go, oh, he speaks Spanish. So I said, I was going to say hola back. Hola, if you don't know in Spanish, means hello. And so I thought, oh, okay. So I said, hello. And so we started talking. We went and test drove the car. Well, after a while, driving the car, I realized he wasn't speaking Spanish. That was his name. His name was Hola. I thought, oh, okay. I got it. So from his view, he was just welcome. But from my perception, my filters, and my understanding, he was saying hello. So, you know, we have different perceptions, and it's us who we are. Well, for Jesus to understand us, he needed to come to earth, and he needed to become a man, a human. He needed to do that. We needed him to do that. And the Bible says that he came so that he may see through our eyes. In Galatians chapter 4, I don't know if we get, Galatians 4 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. This is Galatians 4, 4 and 5. So he came, he came so to see and to understand, so we can understand. And it says in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So he began to, God came in the form of a human so he can understand our viewpoint. It goes on in Hebrews chapter 2 there. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So he came to understand, and not just to understand, but to have victory, so we can understand what victory is. So Jesus came so that he can represent us. And also, the Bible says, because he suffered, when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So Jesus came that he may have an understanding, that he can see life through our eyes. But that's not the only reason he came. There was a reason he came, that he had to come to be the Lamb of God. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus came to be the Lamb of God. In Isaiah 53, it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, this is talking about Jesus, and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And it goes on and talks about that Jesus was one who was rejected, and he was one who was despised. He was a person that wouldn't be on American Idol. He wouldn't be on Voice. He wouldn't be on one of those that people would say, oh, I want to be like him. The Bible says that he was despised. The Bible says nobody was even drawn to him, that he wasn't attractive. He wasn't popular. He wouldn't get the popular vote. That's who he was. So he understands life. He knows what it was like. He was tempted in everything. Yet, the Bible says, without him, John the Baptist said, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, look, there is the Lamb of God. So he came to help us understand, to understand and have that victory and know what it is like to be tempted, know what it's like to face issues. But he also came to be the Lamb of God. So he shed his blood. And you know, sin always costs something. It's just the reality of life. Basically, life, in other words, has consequences. Our choices has consequences. And Jesus came to help us to overcome the consequences when we have done something, when we've sinned. And that was by shedding his blood. The different things the scripture says when it talks about what happened when Jesus shed his blood. First of all, it says that we were redeemed. In other words, we were bought back. So we saw the skit this morning that really, it's not really, the devil doesn't own us. I mean, that's not true, but we were redeemed from the consequence of our sin. That's what we bought back from. The consequence of what happened with our sin. So through his blood, we were redeemed. The Bible says that through his blood, there was an atonement. There was a satisfaction of whatever the consequence was going to be. It was taken care of. So whatever we've done, whatever you've done, there's nothing you can do to fix your, to appease God as far as atoning for your sin. There's nothing we can do. There's no blood you can shed. There's no blood you can shed. There's nothing on the face of the earth that you can give to God that's going to redeem you or atone for our sin. It all comes, Jesus did it once and for all. He doesn't have to do it again and again. He did it once and for all. And once he did that, then what happens is once we put our faith in that, and you might think that is just too simple. That's, you know, that's really, the Bible says that this is a stumbling block because it's so simple. We in ourselves, we want to work it. We want ownership. We want to have something that we can boast about, that we can say, I did it. But God says, no, you didn't do it. You can't do it and you won't do it. Says what's going to happen is I did it and you have to trust in me and believe me. You have to believe in what I've done for you. It's that simple. And don't let that become a stumbling block that's going to keep you away from God. The simplicity of his love, the simplicity of his forgiveness. Wait a minute, he can't forgive me for that because it was just too bad. Well, when does our word trump God's word? Because God said he would forgive you no matter what it is, no matter what it is. You might think, no, you don't know what I did. You know, nobody should know what I did. If everybody knew what I did, nobody would be. God knows. And the Bible says that even while we were yet sinners, Christ came and did all that. Why? Because he knows that nothing is going to separate us from his love. Nothing is going to separate us from the power of the forgiveness of his love. The Bible says that his blood that he shed, it justified us. In other words, what that means is that we were made okay with God. Through his blood. We were made okay with him. Bible says that in his blood, there's this new covenant. I know several of us experienced an agreement. Well, Jesus said, this is a new agreement in my blood. I shed the blood. Now we got this new agreement. And he's covering all his side. You know, usually in agreement, there's two sides. God's all doing all his side. It's up to us to do our part. And our part is simply believing. Believing what he said. The Bible says that as far as that blood, when he gave his blood, that we have peace. In Colossians 1:20, he says he made peace. How many of you like have peace? Peace in our life. So we can look at that part of it. We could fill out. So now we look at what we're celebrating today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he shed his blood. He rose from the dead. So now what's he doing? So now if we're going to fill out that portion of the passport, I think, how would you fill that part out? Because, I mean, this is a new life. He rose to new life. The Bible says he's the firstborn in this new life. He's the firstborn in experiencing this. So what's that mean? Well, if you look at different scriptures, Jesus says, I lay down my life and I take it up. But also says that the Father and the Holy Spirit, so all of them are working in this to bring this new life. So what is he doing now? You know, Jesus, if you look in Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus came to earth and he humbled himself, not trying to be equal with God. He didn't come to earth saying, hey, what are you doing? I'm God. He came to earth and humbled himself. And because he did that, and because he obeyed God, because he humbled himself, it says, even to death on a cross, even saying, God, this is it. You know, it's not that he didn't want to, but he was talking to God at the end saying, you know, if there's some other way. I mean, he was a human being. I mean, he's the same as us. And he was saying, Father, if there's some other way that this could be done. If there's some other way that we can have mankind be atoned for, be redeemed, be justified, that this new covenant can happen, that they can have peace. If there's some other way, can we do that? But there isn't. There was no other way in eternity. That decision was the decision for eternity for mankind. Because if that wouldn't happen, we'd all be doomed. We would have no atonement. We'd have no peace. But because Jesus says, this is the key, he said, yet not my will, Father, but yours be done. He humbled himself to the point, even though being equal with God, even though being God in flesh, he said, not my will, Father, but your will. And because of that, the Bible says that God exalted him above every name. That God exalted him, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. The Bible also says that at this point, Jesus sits at the right hand of God. He sits at the right hand of Father. So what's he doing up there? It's like, hey, I did my part. You know, I'm going to sit back, do some fly fishing, you know, and go out and look at the stars at night that I created and stuff. No, this is what it says is going on. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives now to intercede for them. To intercede, to what it basically means is he is living for you. He is living. The Bible says that the word intercede means there is to be an advocate, to stand with you, to help. He is living to help you to be saved completely. What does it mean to be saved completely? There's lots of things that happened when Jesus came. Is this going to work? Okay, we'll give up for that today. Oh, this up. All right. I need to be patient. I need to have him save me completely so I can be patient. So some of the things he did to come and save us, and he's interceding for me, this is the same for you, is that we can have eternal life. That's one of them. Another thing is that we can have abundant life. He came that we can be set free from a sinful life. What a freedom to be set free. To know, God, I got this habit, I got this problem, I got this, you know, but I got this sin I can't overcome, but he can set me free from that. He came that he set me free from the captivities of life, the things that are trying to take me captive, things that are trying to make me a slave. He came to set me free from those. I'm not going to use that anymore, Angie. He came to set me free from the darkness of life. He says he is light. He came to set me free so that I can see that I'm not walking in darkness. He came that I can know the bread of life, which is him. He came that I might know the light of life, which Jesus says he is. He came to know the author of life, which is him. He came to know, said that he came that I might walk, and this is in, all these have Bible verses. There's Bible verses. All these has to walk in the path of life. He came that I might have a new life. How many of you ever thought it'd be great to start all over? Or boy, if I could just go back, well, it says we can have that. There's this new creation. You know, I can't go back and repeat this, but I can live this. Whatever this is with him, I can live that and have this new life. He came that I can know the Holy Spirit who that gives life. He came that I can know the word of life. He came that I can have a holy life, that I can live a godly life, that I can receive the crown of life, that I can eat from the tree of life, that I have my name in the book of life, and I can know the Father, which is eternal life. So that's just some of what he came for. Do you know, Jesus also said, you know what he's doing right now? The Bible says he is making a place for you. In John 14:2, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, but I'm going there to prepare a place for you. He's working for a place for you. Bible says he's an advocate. In John, 1 John 2:1 says, but if anybody does sin, We have an advocate with the Father, somebody who's going to stand in there for us, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The Bible says he's the author and perfecter of my faith in Hebrews 12:2. So what are you doing with Jesus? Are you letting him save you completely? You know, there's the part of it's important to know our faith in Jesus. Musicians, come on back up, please. It's important to know that our name is written in the book of life. And we heard that, talked about that last week. The way that happens is by putting our faith in Jesus. We trust in him and what he did for us. Say, Jesus, I just put my trust in you. Excuse me. And so that's part of that. But there's this whole other part that he wants to save us completely. You know, Jesus didn't come to the earth and give his life on the earth and raise from the dead so we can have a holiday. You know, I want to give the world a holiday, so I'm going to go down there and die and all this so they can have a holiday, so they can have an extended weekend and go out to eat and have food and eat chocolate. So that's not why he came. He came that we can have the life God intended for us. Do you know God has a life intended for you? Every one of you. He has a life for you, for each one of us. Do you know him? Have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? Have you put your faith in him? Maybe you did and now you stepped away some. And you know, God never shuts down that path. It's always open for us to come. The devil, as we saw in the skit, he's a father of lies. He's always saying, no, you can't go back. You messed up. You know, that's closed down. It's just a lie. Remember, anything he says is a lie. No matter how truthful it sounds, it's a lie. So God always has that available because we have an advocate that's working on your behalf. If we can go ahead and stand. Do you want to step closer to him? If you answered yes to any of that, if you want to put your faith in Jesus, maybe you put your faith in Jesus. Excuse me. You want to step closer to him? Or you just want to say, God, I just want to know you better. If you could just raise your hand up to the Lord, we're going to pray a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your plan for us, Lord. And Lord, we don't fully understand everything you've done. Lord, help us understand. We thank you, Lord, we don't have to understand everything to experience you, to know you, to know your salvation, to know your abundant life you've given us. So we welcome this day, Lord, as we celebrate this resurrection day. We might not just celebrate it, but we experience the resurrection life of Jesus Christ in us. We give you glory, Father, in Jesus' name.